Anyway, welcome everybody. I am Alberto Ferrari. I think next slide is my slide. I'm a consultant at SQL BI. I work with Marco Russo at the SQLBI.com website. I'm MVP, SaaS Maestro. But most important thing, I think, for tonight is that I'm really interested in DAX, in analysis services tabular. I do love many-to-many relationship, and so delivering a many-to-many relationship in DAX is one of the best things that I can do. Before I start speaking, I would like to understand who you are. And basically what I want to understand is how many of you have already a good experience with analysis services multidimensional? I think everybody already has. And how many of you have tried analysis services tabular and started writing some DAX code? Okay, most of you. So I think you already know the basics of DAX. I'm not going to explain anything about the basics of DAX, how it works, evaluation context, filter context, all this stuff. We are just going to use DAX in order to solve many-to-many relationships and see different scenarios where many-to-many relationship can be used. A few words about what many-to-many relationships are. I'm not going to explain to you, of course, what they are, but just going to spend a few words on the data model we are going to use for understanding and working with many-to-many relationship. On the slide, you can see we have an extract from a banking scenario. We have transactions. Transactions have a time, have a type, and then transactions are tied to accounts, to current accounts. Current accounts have a many-to-many relationship with customers because one customer can have many current accounts. I have one with myself, one with my wife, one with my company, so I have many current accounts. And one single current account can belong to many customers. So there is a many-to-many relationship between these two data structures. And this is a very common scenario. I think it's the most common scenario we use whenever it is time to learn and to study many-to-many relationships. The point is that many-to-many relationships are directly handled by multidimensional. So in multidimensional, you have a relationship, which is the many-to-many relationship between a fact table and a measure group. In tabular, there is no support for many-to-many relationship. So basically said, tabular handles one-to-many relationship, plain vanilla, based on one column only. There is no support for any kind of other relationships. So we can stop the session here and say, okay, we are finished. Or we can try to leverage DAX, the DAX language, and the speed of analysis services to find the correct way to use to develop many-to-many relationships using DAX. It is important to understand from the beginning that in tabular, many-to-many relationships need to be solved in the formula using DAX. They cannot be modeled in the data model. So whenever you face many-to-many relationship, you will need to use DAX in order to solve your problems. The agenda for today, first of all, we are going to spend some time trying to deeply understand the classical many-to-many pattern, the pattern I have shown you before. We will write the DAX formula, and we will try to understand it very, very deeply, because this is the foundation of other data models I'm going to show you. All of them use many-to-many relationship. We are going to see cascading many-to-many. So we have one many-to-many, another many-to-many, and we need to traverse more than one before reaching the fact table. And then we are going to use the many-to-many pattern to solve a couple of different scenarios. One is the survey data model. So users answer to many questions, and then we try to slice information using different questions. It's a very generic model. It's a very common model and can be solved pretty not easily, but pretty elegantly in DAX. And finally, basket analysis with many-to-many relationship. The last topic will be an analysis of performance of many-to-many. If you use multidimensional, you already know that many-to-many are a pain. Whenever you have many-to-many relationship in multidimensional, you are going to hit a wall because you need to understand how to optimize them. They are slow. In tabular, things are slightly different. They are pretty fast. And if you code them in the right way, they are definitely something usable. The fourth thing that I want to show you is a very quick demo of the final result. We will always see the demo and then the formulas. Don't expect to see any wow demo. I'm not going to show you something that is very, very sexy. I just want to show you the final result and that it works, how it works and how it doesn't work. And then it will be time to write some DAX code. This is a Power Pivot data model containing customers, a bridge table, and the DIM account. DIM account is linked to the fact transaction. Fact transaction contains transactions from current accounts. If we create a pivot table out of this data model, we simply create an empty pivot table, and we can take from the fact transaction the amount, and then from the account we put the account, and then the customer just before the account, and you see that it simply doesn't work because the relationship, there is a many-to-many relationship between customers and the fact table, so you always see the same number. It seems like Luke has all the accounts, Mark has all the accounts, and so on. The account names have been chosen, so the account name is the name of all the owners of the account. This is the result you get out of the box. Our goal will be not to use this measure, but this other measure, which is amount many to many. There is nothing really incredible about this formula, apart from the fact that it works. So using DAX, we can create a measure that will solve many to many. And of course, as you can see, many to many are non-additive. So the sum of all the nodes is much higher than the total. This is one of the characteristics of many to many relationships. The point will just be how to write this code and how to make it work in different scenarios. I guess I have chosen the wrong button. Okay. The first thing that we are going to see is the formula. Don't even try to understand the formula right now because it's pretty hard, but just try to memorize it and then we will spend time discussing it. The formula uses calculate. I guess everybody here knows what calculate is, or who doesn't know what calculate is? I'm sorry, you will be in trouble. Calculate is one of the most complex and one of the most strange functions in DAX, but it's one of the best ones. You will learn to love it once you start using DAX. We are going to use calculate, row context, filter context, and most important, the fact that row context is transformed into a filter context whenever calculate comes to play. In the next slide, the formula. The formula you have seen before is simply this one. Calculate sum of transaction amount, and then in red, I have highlighted the many-to-many pattern. This is the pattern you are going to see in all the formulas we are going to write, and looks pretty complex. In reality, it is very simple. Once we learn how it works, it is pretty simple. And just take a look at it. Don't take pictures because later on we will see the optimized version of this formula. This is just for educational purposes because it's easier to understand using count rows, but there are ways to optimize it which are much better than this one. So if you want one pattern, this is not the right one. There is a better one later on. Now, before understanding the formula, let's try to understand what we want to do. This is the data model we have, a simplified version of the data model. We have our fact table, the account, the bridge table, and then the DIM customer. When I put the DIM customer on a pivot table, I create a filter context which is on the DIM customer. Due to the way DAX works, we know that the filter context on the customer is automatically propagated to the bridge table. And this happens always because we are on the one side of a one-to-many relationship and filter context is automatically propagated to the bridge table. But then, at that point, the filter context stops being propagated because we are inside the bridge table, which is on the many side, and the filter is not propagated from the many to the one side. So our task, our formula task, will be that of taking that filter and moving it to a filter on a DIM account. If we are able to put a filter on a DIM account table, then the filter on DIM account will automatically filter our fact table. So the formula, the task the formula need to do is to take the filter from the customer, move it to the account. Once the filter is pushed in the account table, it will automatically propagate to the fact table. And so we will see only rows which are related to the customer. So the point, what we need to do is take a filter from the customer and move it to the account table using, of course, this formula. Let's try to elaborate on that. Look at the formula. We know that the filter from customer to the bridge table happens automatically because of the way tax has been defined. Then our formula contains a filter. Filter is an iterator, so filter iterates for all the rows in the account table. And since it iterates on the rows inside filter, we have a row context on the account table. That row context is going to be transformed into a filter context by calculate, so the filter context will push another filter on the bridge table, and we will check whether there is a row or not inside the bridge table that makes our account visible. At the end, once filter has finished computing the part of the DIM account table which need to be visible, we will simply apply this table to the filter context, and this will filter automatically the fact table. Whenever I reach this point of the presentation, I always ask how clear it is. So, how many of you have understood how the formula works? Everybody? How many of you have not understood it? Okay, how many of you are lying? Because what normally happens is that at this point, people say, well, I'm trying to get something, but it's not very clear. The basic idea has, I'm starting understanding the idea, but it's not perfectly clear, which is absolutely expected. In order to understand the formula in the correct way, I want to show you two versions of the formula. One is the correct one, the other one is wrong. The green one is the one you need to learn, and the red one is the one you need to avoid. The red one is wrong. And the difference is that in the red one, there is a missing calculate. In order to understand clearly how the formula works, I'm going to show you how the wrong formula works, and then we will see why calculate is needed and why the correct formula works in the correct way. Let's start looking at some data. Here you can see we have three tables: customers, the bridge table in the middle, and the account table. And this is a data set we are going to use. We don't see the fact table, but we already know fact table is not important. We need to move the filter from the customer to the account. The user selects poll. So we put a slicer on our workbook, and the user just selects poll. So we have a filter context containing poll. And we know that by default, automatically, the filter is propagated to the bridge table. That's the way DAX works. And now we have our wrong formula. The wrong formula starts, the evaluation of the wrong formula starts by evaluating the filter part, the red part. And filter is an iterator which will iterate over the account table. So filter will iterate for all the rows in the account table. Now, we are going to iterate it together. Filter is iterating, and it is now on the first row. At that point, it evaluates count rows of bridge account customer. Okay? So the question is, how many rows, what is the result of count rows bridge account customer at this point? Just speak louder. One, might be. Zero? Eight? Okay. So all the guys that say that they understood the formula, tell me the number which we are going to get. Right now we have 0, 1, 8, 2. Who says 0? Some. Who says 1? Who says 2? A few. Wow. The result is 2, of course, because we have a filter, we have a row context, which is on the green side, but the filter context, the red part, is the only has been set by the slicer and nobody has changed it. Nobody is touching the filter context. So if I count the number of rows visible in the bridge table, I see 2 rows. Okay? I don't see 8 because there is a filter. I don't see 0 because there are 2 rows visible. I don't see 1 because there is no reason to see 1. Okay? So Mark passes the filter and we will keep it here. Then we check it for Paul, and nothing changed. We check for Robert, Luke, Mark and Robert, Mark and Paul. All the rows survived the filter because the result is always 2. Count rows always finds the same number of rows. Okay? Now, let's see the correct formula working. We start exactly in the same way. Now we have the slicer puts a filter on Paul, this is propagated to the bridge table, and then we have now our correct formula, which starts with filter, and filter will iterate the account table. We are going to iterate the account table, and this time we select Mark. Now we compute calculate count rows bridge account customer. And the question is, again, what number should I see? What number am I going to get at this point? Tell me something. Any number is fine. From 0 to 8, any number is pretty good. 1, 2? 1? There's always somebody that says error, but this time we are happy. What happens here is that we are using calculate. Calculate takes the currently existing row context on the account table, transforms it into a filter context, because this is what calculate does among all its behaviors, and this filter context will be propagated to the related table. So in reality, Mark, the filter on Mark, due to calculate, will be pushed on the bridge table. And now the bridge table fills 2 different filters, one coming from the account table and one coming from the customer table. And the 2 filters are working together on the same table. And since there is no intersection between the green part and the red part, the result of count rows now is 0. So calculate count rows will return 0. And that's the reason why Mark is discarded, because the result, the number of rows which are visible under both filter contexts is simply 0. Okay? We try again with Paul. Paul is moved on the bridge table, and now there is a match, because the intersection of the 2 filters now is not empty. There is 1 row which is visible in the custom due to the filter on customer, and it is visible due to the filter on the account. So there is a match, and for this reason, Paul stays there. We do the same with Robert. There is no match, and we discard it. We do the same with Luke. No match, discard it. Mark Robert tries stronger and says, oh, I want to select 2 rows from the bridge table. But the intersection again is empty, so count rows will always be empty, and we are going to discard it. Finally, Mark Paul will select 2 rows from the bridge table. Now the intersection is 1 row, but it is greater than 0. And since it is greater than 0, count rows will return true, and Mark and Paul will stay there. At the end, the result of filter is a set containing 2 rows, which are exactly the 2 rows of current accounts which are owned by Paul. Okay? And it's pretty easy. What we have done, we have taken the filter from the customer table and we have pushed it on the account table. Once the filter is on the account table, it will be pretty easy to push it on the data model and filter the fact table. And this is the reason why, in that slide, you see that the amount many-to-many wrong always shows the grand total, because in reality, amount many-to-many wrong without calculate simply doesn't filter anything. It always shows all the numbers, while filter amount many-to-many correct correctly filters only the values for the customers who own that specific account. Before I told you that this was not the correct formula. This is the right one. So if you want to take a picture, that might be a good idea. The problem of many-to-many done with filter is with iteration introduced by filter. Whenever you write code in DAX and you use iterators, iterators are inherently slow. So you are going to have a poor performance of the formula because of the iteration. And the speed will just depend on the number of rows which appear inside the account table, because it filters that table. A good alternative is to use summarize. Summarize is normally thought as a query function, something that you need to use to do a group by over a table inside DAX. But in reality, it's a function that you can use even for creating complex expression. And in this case, we are using summarize in order to summarize all the accounts from the bridge table. Let's look at it working. As before, we select poll, and the filter is automatically propagated to the bridge table. Now, here we use summarize. Think of summarize as a group by. So we are doing a group by on the bridge table, and we are using as the column to group by the DIM account, ID account. So what summarize does, it follows relationship, because we are not summarizing using a column of the bridge table. We are summarizing using a column of the account table. So summarize follow this relationship, and we return me the set poll, mark poll, which are the only two accounts visible in the bridge table. And it does exactly the same operation that has been done by count rows, but everything is executed in one single vertipack operation. So we are not iterating anything. We are just executing one vertipack operation, which is very fast, and we are getting poll and mark poll as the result. It is important to summarize. Yep, in a second. It is important to summarize using DIM account ID account. You cannot use bridge ID account. Otherwise, you will get wrong results. Yep. Okay, the question is, I need to repeat the question for the recordings. And the question is, you say that Tabular doesn't support many-to-many relationship, why does it support summarize? In reality, summarize has nothing to share with many-to-many relationships. The way to handle many-to-many relationship is to write DAX code that makes many-to-many relationship work. And in previous version of DAX, we needed to use the filter version. Now we have summarize, which is faster, and so we use summarize. But in reality, there is no relationship between the two. It's not that summarize has been created to resolve many-to-many relationships. Summarize is mostly used as a query function to perform group by over big table and return results. Then it turns out that in this scenario, it is very convenient. There was another question. The question is the only difference is in performance, and the answer is yes. In reality, the only difference is in performance because summarize is one single vertipack operation. Summarize will be cached, while the filter version will not be cached because filter is an iterator, and so the query will not be cached. And so summarize is definitely a better solution. There is a third version of many-to-many, of the formula for many-to-many relationship, which, believe me, it's really hard to understand. It can be understood, but it would require a lot of time and a lot of analysis of how filter contexts work. If you look at it, looks like magic, because you just use calculate, and then you put one table after calculate. We are used to put inside calculate filter functions or conditions or Boolean condition or something like that. We can put a table, and by putting a table, we are really putting the table with a left outer join to all the tables which have a relationship with the original one. So in reality, just by putting bridge account customer after calculate, we are in reality filtering the account table. To be honest, I don't use it very much because I find it hard to understand. It looks too simple. And moreover, the performance of this version and the summarized one are exactly identical. Exactly the same performance, the same operation, the same query type, the same query plan, doesn't change in any way. So I prefer to see summarized because it's clear that there is a many-to-many pattern working there. But you can use it, of course. It's just a matter of taste. So many-to-many with summarize. If you use it with summarize, the formula is much faster than before. It's easier to code because you don't need to have a filter and use an iterator. Slightly harder to understand, but you will get used to it. Once you learn it, it's not very complex. Using count rows, as we are going to see later, might still be useful because sometimes using the count rows version is useful to search for missing values instead of searching for existing values. Summarize only finds existing match. And sometimes you want to search the opposite. In that case, the count rows version is the only version you can use. So it's worth to learn both formulas and then choose the one that fits your taste. The first impression about many-to-many is that complexity, as I told you, is no longer in the data model. It's just in the formula. And this has a side effect. The side effect is that if you have 10 measures that need to traverse the many-to-many, then you will need to write the DAX pattern in all of these measures. In multidimensional, you wrote a data model, and all the measures magically used that data model. So many-to-many were in the data model, and all the measures obeyed the data model. Now, the data model doesn't contain many-to-many relationship. You need to write it in the formula, and this means that the formula needs to be repeated for all your measures, which is not very elegant, but it's the only way to make it work. Cascading many-to-many are slightly different. Cascading many-to-many are simply two many-to-many, one after the other. If you imagine that each customer belongs to one or more categories, then you have one many-to-many relationship from categories to customer, and then one many-to-many relationship from customer to account, and finally you get the fact table. So the pattern is very similar to before, but now we have to traverse two steps. This can be solved quite easily multidimensional, even if you need to be very careful when you set up the relationship, and it is pretty easy in tabular too, because the point is that now we have a filter on DIM category, and we need to move it to a filter to DIM account by doing the first step from categories to customers, and then a second step from customers to accounts. Finally, account will filter our fact table. But if you think at it, it's not different than before. We just need to perform two steps using the very same pattern. So the formula, you can see it immediately. I'm not going to explain everything. It's just two filters, one after the other. First, we do the first step using the first summarize, which moves the filter from the categories to the customer. And then the second summarize will simply move the filter from categories to the account table. And by using this formula, everything will work, and it's pretty easy. Okay? Cascading many-to-many use a generic formula. It works with any number of steps. The only point you need to be aware is that you always need to start from the farthest table and then move one step after the other near to the fact table. And you need to use one summarize for each step. The big problem is that complexity is geometric. You are going to multiply the cardinality of tables each time you are going to use this pattern. So it's not going to be very fast. There is an interesting alternative if you have a cascading many-to-many relationship, which is that of flattening them. Instead of having two separate steps, you can create a view, some kind of ETL, in order to have only one bridge table that links account, customer, and category. That table is probably bigger, but it requires only one step of summarize. So if it is not really huge, it will be very fast, much faster than the previous one. And at that point, our bridge table will fill three different filters, one coming from category, one coming from customer, and one coming from the account table, and will always return 0 or 1, depending whether there is a match or not. So this version is faster, and it is exactly one simple many-to-many relationship. It has nothing complex. It's not more complex than a classical many-to-many relationship. The flattened data model is faster than the cascading one. It really depends on the size of your expanded bridge table. The formula will be simpler, but of course you need to write some ETL code. And if you are using many-to-many relationships in multidimensional, do give a try to the flattening even in multidimensional, because it might surprise you. Performance are much better. Next, now that many-to-many relationships should be pretty clear, it is time to use them to solve some scenarios and to see a couple of interesting scenarios. The first one is the survey data model. The survey data model is a very generic data model where you just store questions and answers. So you ask your customer questions. The question can be any kind of question, and they give you answers. Of course, many customers answer to one single question, and one customer asks too many questions. So there is a many-to-many relationship between the two. The point is that now the many-to-many relationship is the fact table. So you have questions, you have answers, and you want to analyze information using this data model. The question, for example, one question might be your yearly income, and all the customers answer to the question. Another different question can be your job. And then you want to use this data model to answer a simple query like, what is the yearly income of consultants? Which really means take all the customers who answer consultant to the job question and then slice them using the what they answered, the same customers, answer to the yearly income answer. It's a very generic data model, and it's pretty common. Don't expect, of course, from a so generic data model to have incredible performance, but it is pretty interesting to take a look at. The data model can be easily seen if you use slicers. Here I have a first dimension. Oh, I'm forgetting, sorry. There is still one slide. There is still one slide that I want to show you, and it is the data model. The data model contains two filter tables. The data model we're going to use, since we want to compare two different questions, we need to have two different tables because we filter one question on one table and another question on another table. So our data model contains two filter questions, one fact table with all the answers done by the customers. And the final result we are going to see will be number two. Yep. This one. We put the question and the answer on one slicer, the question on another slicer. So, for example, we can ask whether what was the answer to the sport, and the answer can be baseball, football, karate, or tennis, and the question can be movie preferences. And so we see from here that the guys who answered baseball as the sport practice. 15 of them prefer cartoons, 16 comedy, 14 prefer horror films. And this is the final result you want to get. It's a very, very generic data model. You can answer to any question with such a data model. Of course, don't even try to build a data warehouse just using this technology because it will be slow. The point is making it work. So let's go on the slides. The first point we need to face is that we cannot create, in Tabular at least, the true relationship between the fact table and the two filter tables. And the reason is that we have only one column, ID answer, and you cannot have two different active relationships with two different tables. Or if you prefer, you can have them, but the result will be definitely wrong. So it is much better to either create the relationship and keep them inactive, or simply don't create the relationship at all and rely on DAX to simulate relationship at runtime. The second one is the version that I chosen for this demo. And this is the formula. It's not very simple, but in reality, once you learn the many-to-many pattern, it's not very complex. The first check is just made in order to give a result only if something has been selected on the slicer. So we check whether ID answer of filter 1 and ID answer of filter 2 have only one value. That means something has been selected in the slicer. Then there is a calculate, and you see the black part and the red part are nothing but a many-to-many pattern. We are searching for all of the customer who answered. Made an answer which is equal to the first filter. The underlined part is used to recreate the relationship inside the formula. So the relationship is missing, but by forcing that equality condition, we are using the relationship only inside the formula. And in the red part, here we're using filter 2. So one part of the formula is using one relationship, another part of the formula is using the relationship. Before we find the people who answer to the first answer, and then we find the people who answer to the second answer. And they need to be the same people because of the filtering that happens. The survey is pretty powerful. Yep. If you want to compare 10 questions, now we are comparing, the question was if we have 10 questions, do we have 10 dimensions? No, if you want to compare, depend on the number of questions you want to compare. You can have 1,000 questions, it doesn't matter. But here I'm comparing two questions. You might want to compare three questions, but really when you have more than three questions on the same pivot table, the result is really, really hard to understand. Because you might want to understand people whose answer to one question, a specific answer, and to another question, a different answer, what they answer to a third question. But it tends to be really complicated. Yep? Duplicate the answer ID? Okay, why can't you duplicate the answer ID? Yep, in reality you can do. You can even use inactive relationship, which is better. Later on, we are going to see a demo with inactive relationship, which leads to better performances. In reality, there are different scenarios, different ways of coding the same scenario. The interesting part of this data model is that if you are familiar with the same scenario in multidimensional, you can solve surveys in multidimensional too. But in multidimensional, because many-to-many relationship are put inside the data model, you need to duplicate the fact table. So you need to have two versions of the fact table in order to create all the complete chain of relationship which need to be in the data model. The key here is that we don't need to duplicate data. Inside DAX, we are able to switch from one relationship to another just by modifying DAX code. Yep. You just need to speak a bit louder.
If there's no relationship between the two tables,
that's bad news. You're right. The problem is if you don't set the relationship in the data model, Power View will not work. And this is true. All what we are seeing today is not going to work with Power View, at least in version 1. And the reason is that Power View uses relationships stored in the data model in order to let the user choose columns from one table. So if the user selects one measure which is in the fact table, then he will not be able to choose any dimension which is not related inside the model with the fact table. So Power View will simply not let you work with many-to-many relationship and with any kind of complex relationship you decide to set up in DAX. Hopefully, in the future, we will be something new, but right now, there is no way to make it work just because it's a Power View limitation. Excel has no limit on this just because Excel doesn't analyze the data model. It just uses any table, and then DAX does the magic. Okay? Survey is a very powerful and compact data model. You need to duplicate only dimension. You don't need to duplicate fact tables. It handles any number of questions. The interesting topics of this model is that the fact table has been used as the bridge table, so we don't have a real bridge table, but we use the fact table as the bridge, and we can set relationship in DAX. At the end, the data model can be queried with a simple pivot table without any issue. The next data model that I want to show is the basket analysis demo, which is very common and very complex to solve. In multidimensional, it's a real pain. In tabular, it's not very, very easy, but it's not all that complex. Now, the data model we see is just adventure works. Fact internet sales, dim time, dim product, and dim customer. But the question we want to answer is, take all the customer who already bought a mountain bike, and show me who of them has never bought a mountain tire tube. From the business point of view, of course, this is interesting because if he's not buying mountain tire tubes from me, he's probably buying them somewhere else. So I want to know who he is and target advertisement to him. The point is that we want to create a data model that works with a pivot table and let the user choose different products and see the number of customers who bought one and didn't buy another one. And of course, we need to use some DAX and some many-to-many in order to solve this. You can solve basket analysis in SQL, and this might be useful in order to understand exactly what the formula does. You create a select like this. You select two times the fact table, and then using the where part, you filter before on A and then the second time on B. So you give two names to your fact table, and you are searching for rows in the fact table where both conditions apply. The point is that if you take a look at the query plan of this query, looks pretty simple. The point is that here you see we have a table scan on the fact table, and we are self-joining the fact table, which on a several billions rows fact table is not a very good idea. It's going to perform very, very bad. I'm not going to analyze in any way how you can improve performances of such a query. You can do that. You can make it run faster. But this is not the point. The point to understand is that the complexity is pretty hard because you need to do twice the scan of the fact table searching for rows that match together. In Tabular, we need, before doing anything else, to create a correct data model. The original data model contains one dim product table. And on that dim product table, we can select, for example, mountain bike. But we need to select two products, mountain bike, which is the product they have bought, and mountain tire tube, which is the product I want to check against. So I need to duplicate the product dimension, creating two different instances of the same dimension in order to make let the user choose different products. So we create two tables. One I called product boat, and there we will select mountain tire tube, mountain bike. And then on the second, instance of the same table, we will use, we will select a mountain entire cube. This time, as you see, I have created two inactive relationships between the fact table and the two product table. So I have two instances of the product table, and both relationships have been set inactive. I strongly suggest you, if you try this data model, to make both relationships inactive. Otherwise, there are ways to code the same formula, but trying to understand it is really, really hard. You can keep one of them active, but the code is going to be really, really complex. And the final result, I think it will be easier to take a look at it on Excel. The final result we want to achieve is something like this. Okay. You see that we have selected mountain tire cube and patch kit from the product boat, and then several mountain bikes here. And here I see that 32 customers have bought a mountain bike and have bought a mountain tire cube, while 373 have bought a mountain bike but have not bought a mountain tire cube. So in this pivot table, I have two different measures. One is counting customers who bought both, and the other one is counting customers who bought one but not the other. Okay? And this is the final result we want to achieve, which is to be able to use a pivot table in order to slice easily this data model. Okay. We have an active relationship, and this is fine. Let's start to look at the formula for having products. Having products is not very easy, but in reality, it's not so complex. We are using twice the many-to-many pattern, once here and once here. What we are doing, we are basically filtering the customers. So we filter all the customers, and then we check whether this customer has bought something. We do count rows of sales. So is there any row in the sales table visible? Exactly what we did before in order to check for the many-to-many relationship whether there was a row visible. But using the relationship between product sales and product bought. So we are checking whether the customer bought the product bought. And it bought it if there is a row in the sales table that says that something has been bought. Okay? And then in the pattern later, we replicate exactly the same formula. So we are asking whether the same customer has bought even the product to check. So it's the same expression. Once it's using one relationship, the other time is using another relationship. But the expression is exactly the same. And this is the formula for having products. So I'm counting, I'm searching for a customer who bought both products. Okay? Does it make some sense? Okay. Not having products is very, very similar. The only difference is that now we check for equal to zero. So we check whether the customer bought one product, we have greater than zero, and did not buy anything. So did not buy the other product. And that's the reason why it is useful to learn the count rows version of many-to-many pattern and the summarized version. Because with summarize, it is very easy to find a match, while count rows is very useful to find a missing match. Here we are searching for customer where there is no row in the fact table. And the only way to do that is using calculate count rows equal to zero. The many-to-many patterns in this formula are pretty easy to find. Once you learn the generic pattern, we have one many-to-many pattern for product bought and one many-to-many pattern for the product to check. Okay? So, using Tabular, you can use multiple relationships between tables. That basically means you can create something like role dimension. They are not exactly role dimension, but they are sort of. And use role keys. And by leveraging active and inactive relationship, you can create relationships which are local to your query. Finally, the last thing that I want to show you are performances of many-to-many relationship, or in general, how many-to-many relationship impact performance of tabular querying, so that you have an idea whether they can be used or not in a real-world scenario. The data model I'm going to use is a data model coming from a real customer who makes audience analysis of television broadcasts. So they simply get information from the remote control, and from there, they check what channel each individual was looking on a minute-by-minute level. So we have the audience, the fact table, and we see that one individual in a certain point in time on a certain date was looking at a specific network. And then, of course, there are some measures which are taken, like the age, like importance of the customer, like any other information. And then we have two tables here, individuals and targets. Nobody's interested in what one single person was looking at television, but all of the people who are used for this analysis belong to categories. A category can be women or men. A category can be less than 30 years, or a category can be living in a small town. And the target is nothing but a Boolean expression of categories. So the target for advertisement can be all the women with less than 30 years living in a small town and having two kids. And this is my target. I want to advertise to these people, and I want to check what these people were looking at. Okay? The many-to-many relationship simply cannot be removed. First time I saw this data model, I tried to remove this many-to-many relationship because otherwise it would not work. But in reality, many-to-many relationship cannot be removed, even if it would be nice to remove it. Because if you look at number, all the dimensions are pretty small. The bridge table is not very big, but we are starting having problems with the fact table. The fact table for 4 years is more or less 4 billion of rows. So it's a pretty big fact table. But there is no way to avoid querying it without using many-to-many relationship. Now, let's take a look at the data model and how many-to-many relationship impact our fact table. We need to use Management Studio. I think I have already connected the data model, and now we need some time to load it. That's something I forgot to do before. The data model is more or less 14 gigabytes. So it's not very big, but it's not as small data model. You should see from Task Manager that since the data model is being loaded, okay, memory is increasing, of course, because right now it is reading the data model from disk and putting it inside memory. Once it reaches more or less, I think, 16, 18 gigabytes, will be up and running. Here we are. I always forget to load the data model in advance, but it might be useful to take a look at how much time is needed in order to load the data model first time. This is the data model we are going to use, and you can see it's more or less 14 gigabytes. Now, let's run some query on this data model. Okay, the first thing that we need to do is to take a look at the numbers. You see we have more or less 4 billion rows in the fact table, 2.7 million rows in the bridge table, and more or less 152,000 individuals, which are the ones we are looking at. Before trying to see the impact of many-to-many, it is important to try to take a look at the performance of query in the fact table without many-to-many. So we have a base point, which is how much time do we need to query the table, and then we will see the impact of many-to-many. If you run a query like this, here we are doing a group by over the fact table without putting any filter. So we are taking the number of rows and just the sum of the weight, grouping by year. And you see it takes more or less 3 seconds to be executed. So it's pretty fast. Everything is in memory. And computing this value is really something which happens pretty easily. It doesn't change too much. If you make the query more complex and you summarize by using year and month name, so we are summarizing using 2 columns instead of single one, then performance are not changing too much. Another example is to summarize, but this time we don't use a single dimension, we don't summarize using only the date, we use even the age range. So we use 2 attributes from 2 different dimensions, and performance are going to be slightly worse. The reason is simply that the filtering is longer, and now it takes 9 seconds. So this is our baseline. More or less, this is the time which is required to scan 4 million rows. Since the time is already 9 seconds, I want to take another baseline, which is the same query, but only using 1 month of 1 year, which is more reasonable. Nobody's going to query 4 billion rows without making any filtering. So in order to get 1 month out of 4 billion rows, we are going to take more or less 4 seconds. I want to skip all these queries which are interesting but are not the target we want. This is the query we want to start analyzing. If you take a look at it, I have it. Whoa. Here we are summarizing by date, by gender, by age range. We get the number of rows. This is pretty interesting. Here we are computing at leaf level, so we're using some X, computing at leaf level, a multiplication, and then a division. And we put the filter. This operation runs on the fact table. The filter here is put on the target table, and the target table is on the outside of the many-to-many relationship. So if we don't do anything and we just run this query without making it work in the correct way, it runs for 9 seconds, but the result is wrong. Here I'm selecting males, that's Italian, but I'm just selecting male guys, and you see that I see both gender male and I see females, because I have put a filter on the target, but I have not used the many-to-many pattern. So in reality, the fact table has not been filtered by my target, by my filtering on the target. This query is now using the many-to-many pattern, the last and the most complex one. I use calculate table. I perform my summarize, but I force bridge individual targets inside my fact table. And if I query the same table before it took 9 seconds to be executed without the many-to-many relationship, now with the many-to-many relationship, it's being executed in more or less 9 seconds. So there is no big difference, no big impact from the presence of many-to-many relationship when you query a fact table. In reality, the complexity of the query is the scanning of the fact table. It really depends on the complexity, the size of the fact table and the complexity of the query. But having many-to-many, if you code them in the right way, it doesn't have a big impact. And that's the reason why I believe that while many-to-many were present in multidimensional but not very usable because they were so slow that I always tried, whenever I had to face them, to optimize them or remove them in order to get good performances. In multidimensional, you don't have this problem. You can easily write many-to-many queries without having problems. It's interesting to see that this version used this pattern, just using the bridge table inside Summarize. There is another version which uses the Summarize. Here we use calculate table, and here we have the many-to-many pattern using Summarize. If you run the query one after the other, if you execute this query right now, you are going to see that it returns in 1 second, which is simply not correct, because the point is that this result has been taken from the cache. In reality, the time needed for execution of the two queries is exactly the same. And it is important to see that the result of the second query has been taken from the cache of the first one, because it really means that the query plan generated by the two queries is exactly the same. DAX doesn't query results, doesn't cache results. It caches only query plans, so the result of a specific query plan. So if you execute two queries and you get immediate results because of the cache, it means that two queries are exactly identical, and you are not changing anything in the way the query is being resolved by the engine. So, last slide for conclusion. If you want to use many-to-many relationship, first thing that you need to do is learn DAX. As you have seen, DAX is incredibly powerful. You can create very complex data model, and by leveraging the speed of DAX, you will be able to query very big data models with very complex formulas at an amazing speed. The point is that it is not very intuitive. When you start mixing filtering, calculate, filter context, row context, and play with all these things, it's very easy to have your brain burning and not being able to understand exactly what is working. But believe me, once you learn it, it's not much more complex than a classical SQL subquery. Once you learn how to use SQL, SQL is your next language. And with DAX, it's very similar. It's easier to learn it with count rows and then implement it with Summarize or table filtering. So study the content with count rows and then use Summarize and revert back to count rows only if you need to search for missing values. Missing values need the count rows version. All the other patterns can be used with count rows or direct table filter without any problem. And if you compare speed, Tabular here is a clear winner. In many-to-many relationship, Tabular is incredibly fast, while multidimensional is normally pretty slow. So I think that if you have a data model containing many-to-many relationship and they are heavily used, that might be a very good reason to try to move it to Tabular, or at least make a prototype and verify whether performance are going better. I expect them to be much better than any version in Tabular. Keep in mind that the same set of queries run on a similar data model in Tabular were measured in minutes. So in order to get an answer from the 4 billion rows fact table with the many-to-many, we had to wait 2 or 3 minutes to get an answer. Now we get the answer in 6-7 seconds, which is really interesting. Related content, if you want to see other session or find me later or take a look at different sessions, you can look at them, but maybe it's easier to have a look at your leaflet. And then all the classical stuff, track resources and go to the website somewhere and vote the session, evaluate the session, win an Xbox and blah, 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 all the stuff that it's pretty normal. Questions, of course. Don't worry, it's never a stupid question. Right. Can we bypass this by using the related and move basically the things to the other table and then find the rest rather than doing all this complex work? Yep. The question is, can we avoid writing the complex query and rely on related in order to make to move data from one table to the other. It's a pretty complex question. It really depends on the data model that ends up. In reality, related is used to move a row context from one row context to from one related table. So there is no way to take we really should look at the data model, which is something we can do pretty easily. We can just sit down, write the data model, and simulate how it is going to work. But in reality, you cannot move the values from the fact table to the dimension, of course, and you cannot move values from between two dimensions because there is in reality no relationship from between accounts and current accounts. If you use related from accounts, you cannot reach current accounts, and vice versa is true. Because in reality, there is no relationship. There is a many-to-many relationship. Both many rows from here belong to many rows from there. And so it's something you need to resolve at query time. It's the only way to handle it. Any other question? Yep. Yep. I think, so basically the question is, where is Microsoft going? Do we need to go tabular? Do we need to go multidimensional? Do we need to go, where do we need to go? And I guess in order to give you any kind of answer, I need to switch off the microphone because it's something we can discuss. It's something that is really interesting to discuss. I don't have the official answer is that I have really no clear idea of what is any different path than the official one from Microsoft. The idea of tabular and multidimensional is not that Microsoft is going tabular or is going multidimensional. Now we have two different tools. They have both strengths and weakness. You have to choose the right one depending on the specific system you are building. For example, if you do account balance account computation, then multidimensional is much better. If you have a lot of data and that set of data doesn't fit in memory, multidimensional is your only choice. You have no way with tabular because everything needs to be in memory. If you have a new cube with a lot of distinct count, a lot of many-to-many relationship, and a lot of leaf-level computation, then tabular is the way to go because there life is much easier. It really depends on the specific customer, and I would say on the specific cube needs. You might have one single customer with two different technologies because it's using two different features of the same language, of analysis. What will happen in the future? I have no idea, of course, but I expect tabular to be improved and to get all the features which now are missing in which now it is missing. It is missing translations, it is missing a lot, it is missing scopes, it's missing MDX script, it's missing a lot of features, and I expect them to come in the next few years. Then, from here to 10 years, are we going to build everything in memory? I don't know, honestly. What I can tell you is that right now, my preferred technology when I speak with customers is to use tabular. So if I can afford to go tabular, I go tabular because it's faster, it's easier, it's cheaper. It's very quick to create cubes in tabular. You don't need to worry about aggregations. You do a lot less ETL. You don't have to create complex models. You write complex DAX code, but DAX code is faster to write than ETL. You don't have to debug it. You don't have to schedule it. You don't have to do a lot of work that you need to do in ETL. And so I chose multidimensional only if there are good reasons to go multidimensional. It can be sites, it can be features, it can be even skills of the customer. The customer already knows multidimensional, then I just remain with multidimensional. But right now my preferred technology if I can afford it, is Tabular. Then, yep. Let's just finish with him, sorry. Yeah, client tools. I hope there are sessions about client tools. Maybe it's better to discuss it at the Microsoft booth. We can meet at the Microsoft booth anytime you want, I mean, and there we can speak about client tools and all the specific stuff about client tools. Yep. Yeah, this is, in reality, this is the big question that everybody has in the mind right now. Should I go tabular, should I go multidimensional, and why?
Yeah, always I've heard it, like, you get outside in memory, but I really don't know what comes outside in memory.
Okay, the answer, the question is, I always need to repeat, it's which one should I choose? There is a session that Marco is going to deliver on Thursday, which is focused just on why should you go tabular, why should you go multidimensional, which scenarios are better in tabular, which scenarios are better in multidimensional. In reality, there is no clear answer right now. Tabular is a very young technology. We can use it server-side since a few months, so we don't have a lot of experience. We have experience with customers like the one you have seen before, audience analysis of television broadcast, and their tabular was a clear winner. But I still have customers for which I work in multidimensional, because I do kind of work which is multidimensional. I don't think that memory is the real point you need to focus on. You have seen that 4 billion rows can be made to fit inside 14 gigabytes. And 4 billion rows are not a huge cube, but it's already something pretty big. You don't always work with billions of rows. We normally work with millions, with hundreds of millions, but seeing the billion number is not very common to see. So if you have fewer than 1 billion rows and a few dimensions, you don't need to worry too much about memory, because it might be 30 gigabytes, it might be 60 gigabytes, but 60 gigabytes are really a huge amount of RAM, and it's not hard to find a server which hosts 128 gigabytes out of them. Yep. The problem is the machine you need to buy need to host at least that memory. But on that laptop right now, I have 32 gigabytes of memory, and it's a laptop you can buy from on the market. Yep, in Tabular you have partitioning. You can use partitioning. Partitioning doesn't change with memory. I mean, the complete cube is always loaded in memory. In Tabular, yeah, partitions and Tabular. In Tabular, in reality, partitions have nothing to share with performance. Either you create a table with one partition or one table with 1,000 partition, performance will be exactly the same. It's not going to change in any way. Any table is automatically partitioned in 8 million segments. So if you have a table with 60 million rows, it will be two partitions, but it's made by the system. It's not something you can control. You can create partitions to handle them easier. So in that cube, I think we have 60 partitions, one for each month. But it's just a management feature. It's not a performance feature. So it's useful to process a smaller amount of data, but it's not going to be useful for performance. No, it's completely different. Yeah, in multidimensional, you partition for performance. In tabular, you don't partition for performance because nothing is going to change. Yeah.
I'm very much interested in the question raised by the other guy, and it's a very important question. I mean, when Power Pivot was released a few years ago, the main promise was to provide self-service BI. That was the main goal, self-service BI. That was the main difference between Power Pivot and other BI technologies available right now via analysis services that provides multi-dimension cubes and but requires programming. Now, what you have shown today is that Power Pivot requires very good programming. Although, actually, we should be talking right now to the end user, not the developer. So, I feel very confused. I thought that we are building a tool to be used by the end user who doesn't know a lot about computing. Now he needs to know a lot. Just again, is the main aim of what has been promised before, self-service BI. So it's no longer self-service BI. It's something else.
Yeah, but I guess I really guess I'm not the right person to answer such kind of question. I mean, it's interesting, and I think it would be really nice to discuss it. Tonight we have the Ask the Expert session, so we can discuss it quite easily. But if you really want a political answer, you need to go to Microsoft and ask to them, because they are the only ones. Yeah, there are a lot of things that are missing, and the world is evolving, so we are changing the way things are coming. No. Yep. In fact, multidimensional is Tabular is created as a programming tool. It's something that BI Pro should use, not user. Anyway, in Tabular in Power Pivot, you do exactly the same. I think, that our time is finished. So I can easily stay here and discuss moreover, but I just have to switch to Microsoft so they stop the...